The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you here in SB Nation AM. Tony D alongside Ron Culver. Glad you could be with us. Early signing day yesterday in college football. So recruits from around the country all gathered to announce their early signing. There's another signing day coming up, but this was early signing day, and the SEC won the day. How do I know that? Because somebody told me. And how does he know that? Because somebody told him. And how does he know that? Because a couple of people told him, because a couple of people actually cover high school sports. And then those people were told other high school players were really good, so they all put it all together, and I guess the SEC was the big winner. And then Alabama, I guess, was a big winner. How do we know that? Because Nick Saban's head coach, and he's always a winner on days like this. This is what we get. We don't know anything about this. Nobody knows anything about this. They're all frauds. Nobody knows all of this. People may know areas, but nobody knows all of this. And yet, every single time we get to signing day, every year we've got these experts saying, you know, who really won the day? Georgia. You know, Oregon's done really well. Ohio State. You can just make anything up, and maybe it sticks and maybe it doesn't. This has been the criticism of Mel Kiper for years, is that Kiper does his homework and he really knows these players, but in the end, he has no idea who's going to be a star in the NFL or not. He doesn't know what draft picks will make it or not. For every one that he gets right, he gets three wrong. For every one he gets wrong, he gets two right. I mean, it's one half dozen of the other. It's a guessing game 99.999% of the time. And you can just go to the standards every single year when it comes to this. The SEC was a big winner. Yeah, because football's pretty big in that area, and everybody in that area likes to go to SEC schools, I guess. I mean, is that the rationale? How do we know? How do we know any of this stuff? How do we know a five-star kid from Pennsylvania is gonna turn Wisconsin around? We have no clue. And yet we think we do, and we think there are people who do. And in the end, it is down to one key thing when it comes to signing day. It's one thing that gravitates our attention more than anything else, more than any of the rankings, more than anything else. It's one thing, and I'll tell you what that is next. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, it's SB Nation AM on a Thursday morning as we are rolling along, getting closer and closer to week 16 in the NFL.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so I was bringing this up at the start of the show today. Early National Signing Day was yesterday. I guess this is different than the February Signing Day. I lose track of all this stuff, because I got to be honest with you. When it comes to signing day. This is on the lower end of my interest in sports is National Signing Day. It just doesn't catch my fancy. And a lot of it is because I think it's so ambiguous. I have no idea who to believe and I don't know what's true and what's not true when it comes to these athletes. I don't know how they grade them. I don't know how they judge them. And I go back to something I've said many, many times, and it bears repeating, is that we're in such a new, different world now because of the internet and because of access to media from around the world and around the country. You can read a newspaper in Iowa when you live in San Diego. You can read a newspaper in Maine when you live in Seattle. I mean, like, back in the old days, you just took the coach's word for it whenever he told you he had a good recruiting class. Because how are you to know? Right. If you're a reporter and you're covering, I don't know, anybody, Bear Bryant, and he just comes out and says, hey, I got a great recruiting class. Okay. Who am I to tell you no? Like, I'm not watching these kids. I can't even watch film on these kids. I can't even read up on these kids. Right. So you're telling me you've got 15 recruits and they're in 12 different states and whatnot. And all right, I'll take your word for it that they're awesome. Okay. That's it. That's all you can do. That's it. You can make some phone calls to some coaches and do your due diligence if you want to do it that way. But in the end, coach would come out and tell you it's going to be great. You just assume it was going to be great. And now it's a little different. Now, because of all these rankings companies and all these people that are telling you that that kid from Georgia is a 5-star and that kid from Iowa is a 4-star, but that kid from Oklahoma, he's only a 3.5-star. And that kid from New Hampshire, well, he's a 4-star, maybe. Like, all of these different levels create one thing. And the one thing is competition. It's just another game. It's just another game we're playing, and that's it. And all of these entities that put a lot of focus on that are playing up on that competition. If you're a fan of Georgia, you want to beat Alabama in recruiting. Well, here's a company that tells you that you did. Here's a company that tells you that you fell short. Here's a company that tells you that not only did you fall short, but Kirby Smart dropped the ball on all of this, and he needs to be fired, right? I mean, that is the level of where we're at with recruiting without any tangible information whatsoever. It's different than the draft. When the draft in the first round or two, it's a lot of names you know and a lot of names you've seen play. So you've got some sort of reference. You may have liked that kid from Wisconsin and he's on your team now and you might go, wow, that's fantastic. Or you may have watched a player at USC and wasn't that impressed and all of a sudden he's on your team and you're like, ugh, that's not going to work out. Or maybe they draft a player you've never heard of and you're just disappointed because you're hoping for the best, but you fear the worst. Because if you've never heard of him, well, he must have not have made a big enough impact in college football. Right? But the reality of it is that the draft is still a crapshoot. It's just that it's more known entities. And when you're talking about the high school game, it's a lot different. I went to South Carolina. Every year they tell me, here's what the Gamecocks did. Here's how many people that are ranked of the high school players that they got. Okay. That's awesome. That's great. When they got Marcus Lattimore, I was like really happy. And when they got Jadeveon Clowney, I was really happy. And I'm glad they turned out to be really good players. But in the end, you know why I was happy? Because people were telling me how awesome they were going to be. And maybe they were, and maybe they weren't. I don't know. But people were telling me I should be happy about this, so I was happy about this. But I had no idea. Because I never saw them do anything. And that's the difference between the draft on players we know and we kind of watch than high school players that we're not aware of. And yet there is a whole business that creates competition between you and the other schools. And this is where it's dangerous for coaches. Because again, if you rewind to about 50 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever, when you rewind it to that time period, athletic directors and coaches and school presidents, I mean, the results were on the field. If you had a good recruiting class, it would show up in wins and losses down the stretch, right? A coach could walk into his athletic director's office or he could walk into the school president's office and say, we're going to do really well. I got these guys and we really like them and our scouting has been fantastic and we really like these players and we're going to bring them in. And that was, okay, great. Now we want to see some results on the field. So the results on the field would speak for himself. Now coaches are under pressure to make sure they're ranked. By who? Who's ranking them? If you want to read a really good book about this whole process, read Meat Market by Bruce Feldman. He goes through Ed Orgeron's years at Ole Miss. And Ed Orgeron's a really good coach. If you want to see the level of scrutiny and the level of insanity that this has has produced over the last couple of years in terms of fan and pressure, and now presidents are feeling pressure from alumni who say, why aren't we in the top 10 in recruiting, or why aren't we in the top 15 in recruiting? It's a really good look at this process. Oh, you know, sure, there was always, you know, recruiting rankings for years and years and years of people who tried to figure this all out back in the day. But it really boils down to competition. I have a brother, and he's a year younger than me. So when, you know, you grow up with somebody that's a year younger than you, everything's a game. Everything's a competition. Who can do this faster? Who can do this fast? Sometimes my parents would play it up a little bit, like, who can do this quicker? Like, who can get the wood from the fire to the fireplace faster? And me would stupidly race to see if we can bring in as much wood as possible back in the winter day. Like, we would, that's what we did, though, as brothers. We were always in competition. And that's the same way people are about their teams. Like, I just want to be in a competition. I want my team to be doing something in the offseason that's competitive, right? Did we win the draft game? Did we win the offseason signing game? Did we win winter meetings? We're still in love with the competition aspect of sports, that even when they're not physically playing a game on the court or on the field, we still are crazy about it. And that's what this is really all about. In the end, that's what this is all about. But here's the other side of this, okay? This is still really important for college football. And I don't want to play that off. You can't win championships in college football unless your players are really good, and this is where you get them. You don't grow them in a lab. You get them here on recruiting day, on signing day. You get them on the days that the national media is saying Ohio State won this and Alabama did this. Nick Saban has been able to turn Alabama around. You don't have to go back far in the calendar before he arrived. Alabama was a middle-of-the-road SEC school. And now Alabama is a perennial national champion every single year. And the reason is because this is the days that he wins. He gets these players. So it does matter. It's a very integral part of college football. But the reality of it is, we don't know this. We don't know anything about this until the results play out. Alabama is likely to win the national championship again this year. You know why? One of the main reasons is because they won the recruiting battle for Tua Tagovailoa. Right? That's one of the main reasons. Go down. Tim Tebow. Florida won the battle for Tim Tebow and resulted in two national championships. Right? Those are the things that matter. But it's hard to process because you have to take so many people's word for it. Because you're not watching high school football in outside your state, outside your city. You just have to take other people's word for it. And maybe every now and then a clip will appear on YouTube. And you'll watch that and you'll say, oh my gosh, I can't wait till he wrecks the SEC or the Big 12 or the Big 10 with that stuff. And it's extremely popular, but I don't know anybody that takes it seriously. I don't know anybody that I've ever had a conversation with that really knows anything about this. That really knows all the way through. I mean, you can name a kid in any city in any state. It's too much. It's too much. There was 2,000 kids. They were signing some sort of letter of intent. Some were big, some were small, but that's a lot of people to pay attention to. But I don't know any fans that really dive into this stuff. The only thing that matters is at the end of the day, the people they trust, right? The ESPNs, Sports 24/7, name it, the people that rank this stuff, puts their school ahead of other schools. And if they do that, they're happy. And they don't even know what they got. But they just know somebody in authority has told them their school won some competition. They finished in the top 10, or they finished ahead of this school, they finished ahead of that school. And you know what? I fall victim to that too. Because the years when Spurrier was at South Carolina and he was recruiting the guys like Marcus Lattimore and Jadeveon Clowney, and I kept hearing how this recruiting class is going to be on this top 5 or this top 6 or this top 10, I felt proud. But I didn't know what I was feeling proud for, other than, again, somebody told me that my school did really well. That was it. That was all it was. Somebody went, yep, I think South Carolina's in the top 5. And that made me feel great. That decision made me feel great, and I have no idea why.
And at the end of the day, isn't it all about money anyways?
In terms of?
For the universities, the colleges? Well, yeah, I mean, if you have a top rooting class, then you can boast to that to your boosters, and the boosters will, you know, maybe you gain more followers. I don't know. I just feel like it's a big money grab in the end of the day anyways.
Well, who's getting the money?
Well, probably the NCAA, because they seem to be getting all of it.
Well, I mean, I think the money is going to the entities like ESPN 300 that ranks these kids, where people will pay money to go to these sites, and people will pay money for, you know, scout.com and things like that, rivals.com.
Sports.
Yeah, anything like that, where people really want to know a little bit more details. I don't think a booster goes, here's $100,000 because you have a recruiting class. I think that's more or less, we won 12 games and made a New Year's Bowl game. That's where you get the money. And if that produces that, that's where you're talking about.
Yeah, I just always find it funny that, you know, I'm getting alerts on my phone that Alabama signed the number one running back, or Georgia signed the number one inside linebacker. I'm like, these are high school kids. How do we even know?
We don't know. That's right. We don't know. We don't know any of this stuff.
We're just throwing a number. It's the same with college football rankings. I mean, before the college playoff rankings come out, you know, the AP, the coaches poll, we just throw numbers there because it makes the game sound more enticing.
That's
even
it.
Though, even though
that's
at the
all
end
it
of the
is.
Day, it doesn't really matter.
Right. That's all it is. I mean, it makes it. You put the numbers next to the preseason poll, and it allows you to market games a lot better. Even though in the end, the College Football Playoff Committee is not releasing its rankings until November. Mm-hmm. Until early part of November, when a lot of games are in the books, and that's it. And it's the same thing here. I mean, I had a friend of mine who was a Harris poll voter, and he would tell me, he goes, man, I could do like the top 10. He goes, but then when it got down to the last 15, it was one half dozen of the other. Like, I was really trying to put thought into it, but in the end, like, if I had Nebraska 15 or 14, I wasn't losing sleep over that. What I was losing sleep over was the top 10. Right. Like the top 10, really, I had to really, really make decisions. But by the time I got down, I was just basically filling it out. I mean, like I wasn't breaking down whether a team was 21 or 22. Like, I just was filling it out. And I thought that was a little odd, but he was right. I mean, what mattered was at the top. And that's the thing here. If you are a site and you say Ohio State won the day and three other sites had Alabama winning the day, well, you might get a little bit more notoriety in Columbus, and people might really like your site more because you've just told them their school just beat Alabama. We're in the South, and in Alabama, they just might all be in agreement that Alabama won the day. But nobody knows really anything. It's one of those odd sports things that's very important to the success of college football teams, but it's just a relative unknown for 99% of the population. I mean, there's a few that really get into it. I mean, there's a few that really, really know this stuff. But that's about it. I mean, I've never had a detailed conversation with anybody about it where they really can tell me that kid from Evansville, Indiana is going to really wreck up the Big Ten. I rarely, rarely, rarely come across that. So 800-777-2907. Do you follow recruiting day? Do you follow signing day? And if you do, why? If you don't, are you interested in the rankings? 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us here on SB Nation AM, rolling along on a Thursday morning. NFL coming up, the two Saturday games. One of them is Tennessee versus Washington, and the Titans at 8-6. They don't control anything. They have to win out and hope for the best, hope other teams fall apart. Marcus Mariota dealing with a foot injury, but he should be able to play. And Josh Johnson still playing for the Redskins, or are they going to go with somebody else, or how's that going to, I don't even know. I don't even know what the Redskins are doing right now. But believe it or not, they're still in the running for the NFC East, because they're only a game behind Dallas and tied with Philadelphia. And then the big one Saturday night, which is going to be great. I hope this is a good game, and I hope the Chargers pull it out. It is the Chargers against the Baltimore Ravens. As a Steeler fan, I'd like the Ravens to calm down a little bit. They run the ball great with Lamar Jackson. He's practically a running back for the team. He's their leading rusher, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And that's
fine. I
think
over the last four games, he is.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. And listen, I know there's going to be critics who bring this up who say, oh, Lamar Jackson's running too much. Look, as far as this season goes, let him run as much as he wants. Yes, if he's the quarterback of your future, maybe you want to dial that down a little bit because it's dangerous for quarterbacks to constantly be doing that. But for this season, when you got two more games left of the regular season and a run to the playoffs, trick up defenses as much as you possibly can. Well, and if it means running them 20 times a game, run them 20-something times a game. I don't care.
Exactly. That's what the offseason's for.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I'll never forget when Tony Romo went down and Dak Prescott burst onto the scene. That wasn't the same. Dak wasn't running the same offense that Romo was running, and we were like, "Oh my God, Dak Prescott's amazing!" And da da da. But then he finally sat down. I was like, "All right, you got to actually be a quarterback."
Yeah,
he hasn't been the same since.
No, he hasn't. So the Lamar Jackson ran for let's see, on November 18th in his. In the last five games, he's 26 attempts, 11, 17, 14, and 18. You run him as much as you want, man. I mean, just, it doesn't, don't freak out. Like, freak out later. If that becomes the staple of your offense going forward, you're probably going to have problems with that. But right now, I mean, just let the kid run like the wind. I couldn't care less.
If you're winning games, why
yes.
fix it?
Why fix it?
That's exactly. The bottom line.
Don't fall into conventional wisdom, Baltimore. Just do what you do best.
I think you're right. I think since he became the starter, which is about 4 weeks ago, he's averaging, I think, over 80 yards per game.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I did look it up. He is the leading rusher. He has 566 yards on the ground.
God, that's
that's great. Unbelievable. But the Ravens have won four of their last five. The Chargers are 11-3, tied with the Chiefs for the AFC West. This should be a good game Saturday night.
The Chargers can't slow down either. They need
it's an important game.
They need the Chiefs to lose so they can grab that first round bye, and we can have the Super Bowl road to the Super Bowl run through StubHub.
Please,
man.
I hope that happens. Oh God, I hope that happens.
I'm not just wanting that as a fan. I mean, you know, I love for the Chargers to have home field advantage throughout. I don't think they've ever had that, but even if I wasn't a fan of the Chargers, I think all of America would be like, it'd be great to see it go through StubHub.
You know, I was thinking about this too, because I hear this conversation happen a lot. I actually heard this in local Nashville radio where they were talking about like the NFL would benefit if Patrick Mahomes went to the Super Bowl. And I'm thinking, how would they benefit? Like, the Super Bowl is the biggest entity in sports. How would it be different if Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback in that game than any other year? Like, don't tell me Patrick Mahomes over Philip Rivers makes the Super Bowl exponentially better. It doesn't. It just makes it, you know, maybe more interesting, but you're not going to gain 75 million more viewers because a certain team or certain player is in it. People watch the Super Bowl no matter what. Like, I'll never forget the year that the San Diego Chargers beat the Steelers in the AFC title game. And, you know, the Chargers that year, Stan Humphries, Natron Means, were kind of like road warriors and, you know, underdogs and whatnot. So they're going up against the mighty 49ers. And everyone was like, oh, okay, whatever. And the Steelers had a really good team that year and a really good defense. And so the matchup of the 49ers and the Steelers seemed a lot more intriguing. And people were like, whatever. Now the Chargers are in it. But you know what? People still watched it. It was still over 100 million people. And by the time we got to the game, there was so much analysis of the game that people were like, yeah, maybe the Chargers do have a chance in this one. And they didn't. But nevertheless, when there's enough time between one event and another event, and there's enough time to hype it up, it usually gets hyped up. So to me, look, I would like to see Philip Rivers, if it's not the Steelers, I'd like to see Philip Rivers and the Chargers get to the Super Bowl. I don't think the NFL is better off if that happens. I just think I'm better off if that happens. because I like Philip Rivers and I'd like to see him play for a championship.
Bottom line, anyone but the Patriots.
That's the other thing. Yeah. That's what
bottom line, anyone but the Patriots coming out of the AFC. The NFC seems to, you know, they have a good rotation going. Seems to be a different team every single year, and it seems to have been that way for a while now. And the AFC, it's basically been Roethlisberger, Manning, or Brady. And now that Manning's out of the picture, it's just been Brady. And it's like, oh, we just want something different.
Yeah, give me something. Give me with the one Joe Flacco thrown into that
that's the
crazy equation.
He messes up the
He does.
The numbers.
He does.
It's like the bell curve. He messed
throws
it up.
Off. Yeah, I mean, think about the last couple of NFC participants in the Super Bowl. I mean, the 49ers, the Seahawks twice, the Atlanta Falcons, the Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Panthers. Let's see, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Had a good mixture.
Yeah, for the last 15 years, you've
Saints
had all sorts of different teams.
Bears. Remember the Bears were there for a minute.
Yeah, the Bears were there for a minute in Super Bowl, 41 against the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've had all sorts of, like, if you go back to the last 15 years, you've had all these different NFC teams who participated. And in the last 15 years, you're right, it's been either a Peyton Manning-led team, a Tom Brady Patriot team, or the Steelers have gone three times. And then you know, here comes Joe Flacco in there, and I think that's about it. To be honest with you,
that's it.
It's either Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. You're right, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, or one Joe Flacco year, and that's about it. But in the NFC, it's a potpourri of everybody, right?
And isn't the NFL about parity?
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
And I think the one year that Brady didn't make the playoffs, the second year after the Super Bowl. If I'm not mistaken, that was the Raiders against the Buccaneers.
Yep.
Yeah. And then after that, Brady was like, nah, taking over now. I'm back. Running this league now. It's SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
With us, SB Nation AM on a Thursday morning. I was talking a little bit about the early recruiting days, signings, and it reminded me of a story. This story's got to be 10 years old. I'm trying to remember where I was when I heard it and talked about it. It's about 10 years old. And it was about this kid in Nevada. And he was a football player. And he wasn't a good football player. He was okay. But he was big and he played offensive line. And he started telling everybody, like, he just was a kid that was unfortunately wanting attention. He was just one of those kids in high school that was just wanting attention. And he started telling people that he was getting Division I offers to go to college. And the reason he was saying that was because, you know, when you play college, high school football, and sometimes you just get letters, you know, you just get like interest letters, and they blanket it out to everybody. And so he kind of took that and kind of ran with it. And, there was a comedian once who had a very funny line that said, never fake a stroke at a party, because when the ambulance comes, you're going to have to go, oh, wait, you either go with it or you got to just admit you made a lie. And sometimes you tell these fibs and then they spill and they spill and they spill and they spill and they spill. And next thing you know, oh my God, it's too late to get out of it. And that's what happened with this kid. He went from getting all these letters, just kind of these introductory letters that really didn't mean anything. It didn't carry any value. And he kind of took that and he ran with it. And he started telling people he's getting looked at by Division I schools. And then he started talking about going on these trips. And then he started talking about getting interest in phone calls. And then next thing you know, the school, it was a small school, was rallying behind this kid because he was going to play Division I football. And it was all a lie. And they had an assembly for him. He said he was down to Oregon and Cal. And he had talked to Jeff Tedford, who was the coach of Cal at the time. And he was like, yeah, and Coach Tedford thinks I could fit into their system and maybe even play right away and blah, 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 blah. He was doing interviews and he was talking to the local paper. And he had this big assembly and the school filled the gym and he had the hats and he was playing the hat game. And he chose Cal and he was getting his picture taken and his family was like, I don't even know about this. I mean, they were like blown away. Coach was like, this can't be right. He's not the kid I was coaching. The people at Nevada, his local college, they lost their minds because they saw it on the news. One coach said he nearly spit up his dinner because he was watching this kid at a high school, like a few miles down the road from his college, that was signing with Cal. Like, how did we miss this kid? He went back over his evaluation. His name never showed up on anything. And then of course, what happens in these situations is people do a little digging and next thing you know, the lie breaks and this kid, you know, his life for a while became kind of chaotic. He was a liar. Nobody trusted him. He was kind of a pariah in the town, and he really kind of made a mess for himself. And he righted the ship. He went to community college and ended up playing Division II football down the road. But it was a weird story because, again, kids at that age, I mean, listen, imagine if everybody at your school showed up, stopped class to attend an assembly because you're sitting at a table picking which hat you're going to wear to tell people where you're going to play college football. Like, 17-year-old me, that's pretty enticing. That would be pretty fun. That would be pretty awesome. Now, some people wouldn't want the attention, but, you know, some people would love it for a while to be the big man on campus. And that was enticing enough to him to want to even create this lie and to create this myth. But the larger story of it all was, and I think even 10 years ago they were talking about this, is how big really is this? Like, how big, what are we doing? Like, we're televising these national signing announcements. Like, they're such a big deal that they're going to be at halftime of a bowl game, or they're going to be televised locally. When Marcus Latimer was signing with South Carolina, I was in South Carolina at the time, he did the hat game too. And it was like, there was a shot. They had one camera, and the camera turned to the crowd to get their reaction. And all you saw was this ocean of cameras. I mean, it was like a presidential press conference. And I thought, one, how many local media members are in upstate South Carolina? But two, every single one of them thought it was interesting enough to bring a camera rather than just maybe a reporter that would just tell it what that is. I mean, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
I found the story that you were just talking about, Nevada high school football player.
Okay, what year was it?
2008. It was 10 years
ago. It was 10 years ago.
It doesn't seem like it was that long because I remember this vividly.
Yeah, that was a crazy story, wasn't it?
Yeah. Care to venture his name?
If I'm not mistaken, it's Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Yes, that's right. Because I remember he had
not the comedian.
Yeah, not the comedian. Not the comedian.
Although it would be something that the comedian would do. I think he has done that as a skit.
But yeah,
you know
what's funny
like
though?
Been recruited.
It's easy to read the story and kind of have like this like disgust for him, but most of the story is you're just massively sympathetic.
Yeah, no, he blamed it on the fact that he had paid a recruiter or something.
Yeah,
like that,
that's right. Yeah, he was getting letters and stuff. Yeah,
and he was getting false information. Although when the sheriff's department, the county authorities or whatever investigated, they could never find. He didn't have a phone number. He didn't have an address of this guy. He didn't have any other details.
Poor kid.
But no, it also reminds me. Do you remember? I think it was. I don't think it was last year. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, when the kid was choosing his high school and his mom just got up and walked.
Yes, his mom freaked out because I can't remember the schools involved, but I wish I did. But he picked one school and she just lost her mind and she thought we were, you know, he was going to pick another school.
Yeah, I mean, she's sitting there shaking her head, you know, nodding yes, like, yeah, my boy's about to do this. This is it. This is what we were working for all this time. And then he chose a school that she didn't want and she just bailed.
She just left.
And then she was trying to backtrack. Like, no. It was something else. I got a phone call. I was, you know, she was just all these different excuses. It was like, no. We saw on camera. You just bailed on your son.
And because the, social media now, I mean, you can have a kid go, I'm going to Auburn, and he just gets destroyed on Twitter, right? Because everybody's like, from the LSU crowd goes crazy, or the Mississippi State crowd goes crazy, or whatever. Especially if you're a kid in a state and you don't pick the state school. It's just going to be a mess. I don't know. Like, I hear this a lot. Like, people will tell me, like, they'll come up to me and they'll say, just family, relatives, friends. And they'll be like, hey, did you hear Tennessee got this linebacker? He can run a 40 in like 4.6. And I'm like, how am I supposed to process that? Like, and normally I just go, oh, that's awesome. Yay. Good. That's great. But like, truthfully, what do I do with that information? What am I supposed to tell you? Great. Now you're going to win the SEC championship. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? And I don't. So normally I just be nice and go, oh, that's pretty cool. That's great. I'm glad your message boards are talking about how awesome, you know, your team is going to be next year, I guess. You know, so I, it's, but again, it's, it is, like I said earlier, it is an important part of college football because you really can't win. Like, if you look at the national champions over the last, I don't know how far back you got to go, but you go back pretty far. And most of them, if you just transfer that list to where they were in the rankings of recruiting classes, I guarantee you all of them were at least in the top 10 by most accounts, by most people's ratings or most people's grades. I mean, I don't think you'll find a national champion on the board where it's like, I don't know how they got there. They were 55th for years on the recruiting. You need these kind of caliber players. And look, and I don't want to diminish the work. I do not want to at all diminish the work that they're doing, because in the end, they're grading out these players the best they can grade them out. I mean, somebody's doing that work. Somebody's watching these clips. I mean, they're not just randomly picking up players and going, yeah, he's a 5-star, he's a 4-star, I don't care, just give him whatever. They are doing some evaluation. The problem, what I challenge is the evaluation, and what does that actually mean? Let's go back to Justin Fields, for example, at Georgia. The big news this week is that he's transferring. Okay, great. So Kirby Smart lands Justin Fields, right? That boosts his recruiting class for that year because he's one of the top quarterbacks in the country, if not the top quarterback in the country. And Kirby Smart's landed him. But here's the problem. He's got a kid who started as a true freshman who led the team to the national championship. So what does that mean? All right, so Kirby Smart got a kid, so basically nobody else could for the first year? And that's basically it. So in the end, his recruiting class was based a lot on the fact that he had Justin Fields, who he can't use. And Justin Fields is leaving, and he's going to play for somebody else. Kyler Murray, the same thing, right? Baker Mayfield, the same thing. Those guys weren't recruited by Bob Stoops / Lincoln Riley. Those guys walked on at Oklahoma, went to Oklahoma, right, as transfers. So this game is only good if there's value at the position of what you're bringing in and if you can actually use it. It's no good to tell me how awesome a freshman running back is going to be if you have a stable of great running backs and it may take him until his senior year before he finally sees the backfield. I have to at least know that about you, right? Chris Leak was a highly recruited quarterback, right? When he got to Florida, he was a good player, a really good player, helped them win a national championship. But the guy that really set Florida on fire was Tim Tebow. Right? So like these things, it's one half dozen of the other. Some of these recruiting classes work out, and you win a national title. Some of them are really good and don't pan out to anything. It doesn't, Ron Zook was a fantastic recruiter, still cost him his job. Ron Zook is one of the greatest college recruiters like ever. I mean, Ron Zook is amazing. He could walk into a house filled with Seminole gear and get you to play for the Gators. By the time he left your house, you were like, "Well, orange and blue seems really good to me." But he couldn't coach that talent to save his job. So it's all relative. But I think I just go back to the idea that I think this is an industry that has convinced the American public that it's really, really important, but nobody thinks fans don't think it's important enough to do their research on it, right? Which is different than the draft. Wouldn't you agree that it's different than the draft? Because everybody has an opinion on the draft, right? Everybody goes into the draft and says, oh, we definitely need to get Saquon Barkley. Oh, we definitely need to get Sam Darnold. We definitely need to get whoever. I mean, name your pick. Jadeveon Clowney, Khalil Mack. I mean, anybody, right? Sammy Watkins. I mean, name your player that's like a top 5-10 pick. Because we've seen them. They've been in our living rooms. We kind of evaluate. We know what our team's needs are. We know what our team's immediate needs are. We know how this is going to help. So the draft comes around. We're all armchair GMs. But when it comes to college football recruiting, we all talk about how this is important and we need this. But none of us want to do the research because the research is daunting. Are you kidding me? Who's got time to sit and watch 100 high school tapes to find out if your school is missing out on a player? We don't. So we have to trust experts. And we don't know if those experts are right. But what they give us is enough to feel good. It has like a dopamine effect? Where you start feeling good about something, you don't even know why. It's addicting. It's addicting to see your team in the top 10 of a ranking. It could be anything. Party school from Playboy, recruiting, top 10 preseason poll, prettiest campus. If you went to a school that's ranked in the top 10 in something positive, you just feel good about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I never got to experience that.
Well, South Carolina wasn't on Playboy's party school list. It's a pretty good party school, but it wasn't on the top 10 Playboy party school list. Oh, I think one girl was featured in the Girls of the SEC one time, and I think everybody thought that was great.
There you go.
You know, like that was in 98, I think her name.
How archaic is that now? Because you don't even need that. Now you just have Instagram or.
Yeah, you don't need that anymore. No more Girls of the Big Ten. Remember that? They were wearing like winter gear very suggestively. It's cold in Wisconsin. Let's put her in a hat. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D. Rod Culver, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So I got a question, Ron. I have yet to, because I don't know what happened in my December, but it got all squirrely, busy, sleep, you know, early, whatnot. And I found myself, I didn't get to sit back and enjoy the magic of some of the Christmas movies and Christmas specials that I like to watch this time of year. And now I'm wondering, should I just binge watch it all this weekend?
Yes.
Or should I just do that?
I mean, I've been able to catch a few here and there, but I'm in the same position. It feels like I haven't really sat back and like, oh man, I watched this movie from beginning to end. Case in point, I have yet to see Die Hard this Christmas.
Oh, I know. Me too. And I usually watch it.
Yeah.
I usually watch it.
I'm very disappointed.
Me too.
The ultimate Christmas movie I have yet to really sit down and just sit back and enjoy. And unfortunately, it's one of those because I have, you know, younger kids. I can't really watch that around them. And so I got to wait till everyone goes to sleep. And that's usually my bedtime.
Yeah, no, it stinks. Yeah, you got to watch that. By the way, a friend of mine said, how can we argue if Die Hard's a Christmas movie, but we don't with Gremlins? Like, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
That's your argument for Die Hard being a Christmas movie is that Gremlins is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, Gremlins is a Christmas movie. I never even thought Gremlins was a debate. I thought it just was accepted it was a Christmas movie.
In fact, I can make more of an argument that Gremlins is not a Christmas movie.
Than Die Hard?
Yeah. Gremlins is just set in snow.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Listen, man, you have a Christmas party at the Nakatomi Building. It's a Christmas movie. I don't care what the context of that is.
They had to go above and beyond to show you that it was Christmas because it's Southern California. There's no snow. Gremlins. Oh, it must be. There's snow on the ground. It must be Christmas.
Yep. Ho, ho, ho. Bruce Willis, you're the best. SB Nation AM.